everybody can hear me. It is interesting to see how the Lord works in marvelous ways, because I had mentioned, Jacob had asked me if I could talk, and I said, well, there's much to the word of the Lord that I still need to learn in terms of the verses and where they are and how they all work together. One of the things that we found fascinating, Ruthie and I, was when Kessler, when he came and stayed at our home and had dinner with us when he was here for the first of January, the day before was sort of an open day, and I, was that? Keith Kaiser, that's it, okay. Terrible on names until I get to know them better. But when Keith Kaiser visited, it was fascinating to listen to him talk and sort of tie things together. And then I had said, well, you know, I would like to do something every day that would sort of expand my knowledge. And we had talked about the various titles that Jesus Christ has in the Bible. And so he said, well, I actually helped contribute to a book called Titles, and he sent that to me, and it's a marvelous book. It has, I think, like 25 or 32 people that have contributed to them, and they have each taken 15 days, and then for each of those days, they talk about a title of the Lord, and they expand on it. But one of the things that I am looking for that ties in with what Jacob was talking about, how Ruthie is often not feeling well, so she's not here. And so she was saying, well, what are you going to talk on? And I said, I don't know, but I hope the Lord strikes me with inspiration and I'm able to share some thoughts. And I said, as much as anything else, I really want and need help. And so she says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, in between the worship ceremony and the sermon and the Bible study, we all mix and we mingle and we talk. And every time somebody asks me something about, well, how was your week? Next thing you know, I said, I'm talking about work. And I do that all week long. And I really don't want to talk about work. So I'll have to ask people to share with me like a favorite scripture of theirs, or something that they've learned from the Bible. And it is fascinating how, when you're reading the Bible yourself sometimes, it's hard to sort of understand something, and sometimes it's just hard to stay awake. For me, I have a tendency to work ridiculous hours. I think Tuesday I started at 3 a.m., and I hammered through to 10 o'clock at night, and then Ruthie tricked me into going to bed because she knew that Wednesday morning I needed to be in Roanoke, and in order to get to Roanoke in time, I needed to leave at 3 a.m. or at least start that process. So I came upstairs, and she called me up, and she was in bed. She said, well, why don't you just lay down here, and let's do our titles. Well, that was it. I lay down, I passed out, and I didn't get up until she woke me up again at 3 o'clock, and then, of course, it was panic mode. And then Wednesday, I think we didn't finally roll into Chattanooga until, I think it was like, you know, 8 o'clock or so. It was time to eat dinner and get off to bed. So one of the things that I felt like that I would ask for when I have the opportunity to talk to you here is when that we interact, and instead of asking me about my week, because my week was crazy, I survived, I made it, I'm here. Instead, share with me things that you've learned and or scriptures. And each of you have spent a lot more time in the Bible than I have, I'm sure. And it's just because I've really never really spent much time, you know, with the Bible on a personal type basis. So I'm really looking forward to you all sharing with me just a verse and letting us have that as something we talk about and not about my crazy work week. So that was kind of a side point. But it tied in so nicely with what Brother Jacob said in terms of how the smallest of what we might feel we have to offer can actually be so impactful, because, you know, just the fact that I'm here is because Jane mentioned to somebody in the course of interaction that she went to a church where people wore head coverings. So I digressed a little bit. Where I was really going to start was that the role of, as a husband, being a spiritual leader, and this has been sort of a challenging area that I've been trying to work on. And I love the internet, how you can, I have the King James Bible online, and you can type in something like, you know, husbands being spiritual leader, and next thing you know, you have a tremendous number of verses on that. And so I've really been challenged with that and in our relationship. And yet, I think I've found that me trying to assume more of that position has been really a wonderful thing in our marriage and has brought us much closer. And I think within society sometimes there's the image that, oh, you know, the Christian, you know, the husband, he wants to lord over the wife, you know. And so there's sort of this negative image in society for men being spiritual leaders, only because people really haven't spent the focus, they haven't looked up all of the verses on the topic, and they've read in there. And yet it is fascinating how within the scriptures, you know, all of the apostles have spent time on that topic. One of the verses here that I've thought a lot about is in the Ephesians chapter 5, 25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And I've been wrestling with the context of how to apply that in my life and what that really meant. And if you think about it, Christ, he gave himself for us in our sins. He suffered a terrible death from a physical perspective. And so Christ has likewise admonished us as husbands that we are to love our wives in the same fashion as he loved the church, and he loved the church and us enough to give himself for that. So that's some pretty powerful instruction. The challenge gets to be, you know, how does one apply that in their life? And I'm just sharing with you some of the challenges that I've had and applying that in my life. And I look forward to when we have a chance to talk, to instead of talking about metal roofings and how crazy my week was, we talk about ways in which we've applied that in our own personal lives. And so I've sort of realized that for years, Ruthie said, you need to get a hearing aid. Why? Well, you never hear a word that I say. And so actually here, 5 years ago, I did go and get a hearing aid. I mean, not a hearing aid. I went and had a test. And I had a hearing test done. It was one of the few times that I've seen a doctor. I had to put this issue to rest for peace in our marriage. And the doctor was rather interesting. He said, well, you know, your hearing's not the best. And one of the things you do when you do a hearing test is you fill out, you know, the things that you've been exposed to for noise. And when I was a young man at one time, before my mother made me promise to go to college and get an education, I worked in construction, on a construction site, and I literally was in the bottom of the ditch digging. And in order to get out of the bottom of the ditch, I ran jackhammers and pneumatic air drills and rock splitters to, in Roanoke, Virginia, cut through 22 inches of reinforced concrete to to put pipes through existing walls. So I had a tremendous amount of exposure early in life to loud noise and the days before people really realized how detrimental that could be. But what he said was, he said, your hearing is not the best. You've obviously, these noises you've been exposed to have impacted it. He says, your real problem is you have selective hearing and you're not paying attention to your wife when she's talking to you. Very, very insightful and extraordinarily correct. And even back then, I realized, well, I probably should pay more attention. But it's amazing how we become distracted in our lives. Our spouse there, she's trying to talk about the color of the curtains. Curtains! Who cares about the curtains? The typical man's response. And Ruth will tell you, when we first got our first house, I was like most men, it was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I've spent every single penny that I've owned and beyond. And you want to talk about curtains? We can put newspaper on the windows. But what this translates to is that we are made differently as men and women. And they have a different needs than we do. And more often than not, like for Ruthie, you know, I'm the one she's going to see more than anybody else. And so I realized and have come to terms with how it is the interaction that is the important component, and I need to not be distracted. You know, here it is, sweetheart, I've been trying to, you know, run these, you know, $500,000 deals, and you're talking about the color of curtains? I have this more important distracting thing on my mind, and that's about priority management, which is another weakness that I have that I can use help on. But what it's taught me is that I need to take every moment with her and treat it as if it might be our last. And focus on what she has to say and talk about. And I think as men, this is really hard for us to do. We have our own set of priorities and the way that we approach things. And there's a lot in the scriptures that relate to the nurturing of our wives. And I think it really has to be where we have to love them in that fashion so as to recognize how important that interaction is and improve on it. And if any of you guys have helpful hints to offer, even though Ruthie and I are getting ready to be married 40 years, sometimes I feel like an amateur in this challenge, and I want to get to be better at it, and I welcome your help in that regards. The other thing I think that I'm learning is how important it is in leaving, and of course I travel quite a bit, so this gets to be kind of something you get an opportunity to do every week. But in leaving the house, to be sure that your wife understands how important you really are in her life. And I know myself how easy it is to become distracted by everything in our lives, to not really share that with them as often as we should, and I'm trying to get better at it. Now, for years, I was really terrible. I mean, I would like, you know, fly out, you know, Monday night, and Ruthie would try to call me, and no, I'm too busy. And, you know, I'd be flying back Friday night, and poor girl had never had a chance to talk to me until late at night in a hotel, and I'd be so sleepy and groggy, I could hardly talk to her. So one of the things that I've tried to do now is I have this policy of where her calls get priority. And I find that it's easy to do, and it's also taught me there's another topic we're going to talk about if I have the chance here. But anyway, so what I try to do now is take her call in the moment. And so even if I'm like in a meeting this week, I was up at the UTK Bowling Thompson Arena. This building's like 130 feet in the air, and it's freezing cold, and there's a group of us out there on the roof discussing some aspects of the project and its warranty. And she calls, I take the call. She says, where are you? I said, well, I told her, what are you doing? I'm in a meeting. She says, why'd you take my call? Because you're important. And I want to let you know I love you. And I'll, you know, can I call you back? Or is this something you need something right in the moment? She says, just call me back. But I used to never take her calls during the business day. So now I've changed my focus in that regards. And I feel like that it's a part of understanding the scriptural role and how to apply it in my personal life and the dynamics. And I think if Ruthie were here, she would tell you that it's made a real improvement in our relationship for her to see that effort for me to try to be a spiritual leader and to try to find some, you know, little ways to impact it in our lives. And that was another area that I was wanting to share challenges with you, and that is how to have impact in our lives. I've been just dismayed, and I try not to pay attention to the news because it can be so disheartening and distressing. But some of it you can't avoid listening to, and I'm just totally blown away by what's gone on recently in the state of New York as it relates to abortion, and how, you know, the literally, I think, the child can be almost at birth and being crowned, and I changed my mind, I don't want a baby after all. And now, you know, that's legal to kill that child at that moment of its birth, which is just incredible. And so then when you see these crazy things going on, it's like, well, what can I do about this? And so I was talking to Ruthie one night this week, and we were looking at that, and we were hearing about the news and the legislation that's starting to take place in Virginia. And so we decided, you know, something we need to do is we need to express outrage at this, so that people understand that they're not the silent the silent majority. I think what's happening in the world today that really is something that gets me kind of all riled up and excited is that a vocal few with just satanic approaches to life and society are vocal, and the rest of us feel like, well, you know, we're beaten into submission by the newspapers and the press, which is very, very negative and absolutely no spirituality to it. And so we decided that whenever we have that opportunity, we should express that outrage. So, you know, I had dinner with an engineer Thursday night in Lanier City, Tennessee, which is in Kalamazoo, Timbuktu. No, actually, it's west of Knoxville and then south a little bit. And so we got together Thursday night to discuss what he was going to do Friday morning and looking at a project for me to determine if we could add some additional weight to that structure. But anyway, so here it was. I thought, well, Ruthie's right. And so I expressed the concern and outrage about what's going on in New York. Turns out he feels the same way. And, you know, he's like he goes to, you know, a more mainline type of church and the like. But I think the challenge is for us, we each have a voice. And that voice in the smallest of interactions, for us to express that outrage, I think it's really necessary in resisting what's going on in the world today. We have to find the opportunity to raise our voice in limited basis on interactions with individuals. We have an opportunity to run across in day-to-day living to where more of, I feel like, the majority of society doesn't really want these things. And so we've got to try to find a way to sort of push back on that. And it's just about speaking out. One of the challenges that I have is I'm not really a very brave person. And so, what was it, Wednesday night? Yeah. Wednesday night when I rendezvoused with one of my coworkers in Knoxville because he was bringing some wall mock-up assemblies for a meeting we had Thursday morning at 7:15. And in Chattanooga at 7:15, it's still dark. I didn't realize because of the difference in time that it was like 6:15 our time. But anyway, where I was headed with this is that here's a guy, and I had dinner with him, and I realized that over dinner, I just bowed my head and did a little silent blessing. And I guess I feel ashamed that I missed an opportunity, and I need help to get the courage to where, you know, the reality is he probably wanted to say a blessing over dinner too. But you're in a business environment, and everybody hates to take that first step. But in retrospective, you know, I don't know, but I suspect that he's probably a Christian too, or at least he attends some church. And his mother told him to say a blessing over the meal. So if I really had bravery and courage, I wouldn't have chickened out. And I think in life, we often chicken out and don't seize the opportunity. And today, with everything that's happening in the world, I just think it's more and more important that I got to get brave and seize those opportunities and to take a stand. And it starts with something as simple as the fact that the two of us are here having dinner at the company expense. Lord, thank you for this food and the opportunity to eat it and keep us safe. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be involved. But I just think that it's a way to have impact. And it's fascinating how, you know, all these thoughts were flipping around in my head. And Jacob and I didn't really have a chance to talk. I sent him an email, you know, one night from, I don't know what night it was, but that I had all these thoughts in my head. But it is interesting to see how the Lord works in interesting ways. Jacob shared this message about how each of us, no matter whether we're a good speaker or no matter how much of the scriptures we know, we have these little kernels. And this wonderful thing about being a part of an assembly is it gives us an opportunity to share those with each other. It gives us an opportunity for us to help build our courage, for us to share a story about how, you know, the PTA group was meeting and I said a blessing and they didn't shoot me. What are we afraid of? The Lord will protect us. And so anyway, it's amazing how little ways that we have in which we can really have some impact. When you look at when I got home Friday night, Ruthie wanted to just kind of talk for about 4 hours because I hadn't been around for a long time. I wasn't able to actually stay awake all that long. I think by midnight I was ready to go. But one of the things that came out was her sharing frustration about what she could do. There was a time when we were in the Catholic Church for a while. She was very active in the Commonwealth Catholic Charities on the mission side, and she would like a, sort of like as a mother hen, not really, but they were looking for people when these refugees are trying to assimilate and learn about the different resources and the like. And so we sort of, my family is military, my brother just retired from the Air Force, and I was raised in it. So I thought, well, okay, we'll sort of specialize in looking after refugees that are Afghans that worked for the military, that the Taliban started killing off their relatives, and to protect the translator and the family, they let them immigrate to the United States. So we were working as a sponsor for those families, and Ruthie at one point when she was feeling better was really, really engaged And she would, you know, help the women and take them to their doctor appointments if they were pregnant and having a child. And she had an affinity for helping the pregnant women. And now that's really hard for her to do. And so we're not really engaged, you know, with that sort of mission type work. And so she was expressing dismay about, well, you know, what can we do? And so all of a sudden it occurred to me that the biggest impact that you can have in life is on the next generation. And it's the easiest to impact the next generation with your children and your grandchildren. So I told her, do you like visiting with grandbabies? My phone is full of grandbaby pictures and videos. And when I travel during the week, I say, you know, I tell my daughter, send me pictures. And it's amazing how they keep you going. So the resolution of that discussion about how to have impact in the world is just start small. So let's not worry about the whole state of New York. Let's not worry about the state of Virginia. Try to have impact. Try to be spoken to the fact that you disagree with the things that are going on. But for real impact, it can happen right at home. When the grandchildren you're visiting read to them from the Bible, which she does. And I said, don't feel frustrated. You're having real impact to the next generation of people enjoying and sharing the Word of God and little children Bible story books with the grandbabies. So I said, don't feel frustrated that you're not out there on the protest line in Washington, D.C., of which she wanted to be at, but that would have been way beyond her capacities. I said, you'll have impact just with the ones that you love, sharing the word of the Lord with them and trying to steer them in the right direction. So it was interesting how she had such a pent-up series of frustration, you know, looking at the things going on, and how that really put her at peace and helped her to, I think, rest really good Friday night, realizing that she would have impact on the world around us. So I really enjoy having the opportunity to fellowship with fellow believers. I want you all to help me, if you would, from the perspective of understanding the scriptures that mean something to you. It's fascinating. If you just try to sit down and start reading through the Bible, it's really hard for me to do because I'll like get a drowse factor coming on like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, I'll pass out in the chair in a heartbeat. But if I do it in the context of something like the titles, and that requires that you read through the scriptures, and then the commentary has some expounding that they've done on those and references to other scriptures and understand. Well, all of a sudden now it sort of has context. So if you'll share with me one of your scriptures that you've learned, that you've enjoyed, then I think what that'll do is it'll mean a lot more to me, it'll stick a lot more, and it provides a real fascinating context. So that's my rambling comments here for the day. I did have a couple of points, but I wasn't necessarily totally on them. I'd like to close by leading in a prayer. Be fine? Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity as fellow believers to get together and to share your word with each other, to share with you what is on our hearts. And we ask that you enter our hearts and inspire us in that fashion. We ask that you look over those of our body of believers that are not here today and bring them back to us here this next week. And as we go into this week, we ask for you to look over and protect us and bring us back together as an assembly And we ask for you to give us courage. Give us courage to speak out and to share our outrage on some of the things that are happening in the world today. And give us the courage to let our spirituality, to let our belief in you, and to let us have the courage to show that to the people around us and to really try to be a light in the world. We give you thanks for all of the blessings that you give us, and we ask for your guidance and protection. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.